last week we talked about handling hardships and that pain exists in this world, and God does not ignore it. God realizes it's there. Jesus, who was the Son of God who came, he experienced it himself. He knows how to relate with our pain. So all of that is very true, and there's not always a very quick fix for it. Yes, our God works miracles, but sometimes there's not the quick fix. And I know that this week has not been the easiest for some people. We've had problems with jobs. Somebody lost their job. There have been several people in church who have dealt with death this week, in the last few weeks. That is there, and I don't want to lessen that. But one thing that I want to make sure that we notice today, what we're talking about is serving a celebrating God. What the heart of God is not pain. The heart of God is that he's a celebrator. That he likes to be excited. And I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. That this isn't just me making it up or trying to sound like a feel-good, happy speaker guy. It's been in the Bible the whole time. So we're actually going to look at that. In Genesis chapter 1, it says God's creating the world. And he starts doing some things. Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, after he creates light, it says, God saw that the light was good. Now, as we look through the rest of this, every day, God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. He makes this. God saw that it was good. He made this. God saw that it was good. He made this. God saw that it was good. God is not a person who does his work and goes, oh, I'm just glad that's over. He doesn't have that, I sure hope tomorrow isn't like today because today was terrible. No, God's like the guy who gets done with his work and goes, that's good. Let's do it again. Let's do something more the next day. And he gets to the very end of all of these and says, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there's evening, there's morning, there's sixth day. That God is someone that enjoys creating things. He enjoys life. The first emotions that we're seeing from God is him saying, this is good. That's the first emotion we see. Now, if you think, oh, well, he's just saying it's good. God's someone who likes to have others join in the celebration. In the book of Job, Job and God are having this conversation, and God is pretty much telling Job, hey, where were you when the world was created? What do you know about how that happened? And he says that when the world was being created, he says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Another translation says, all the angels shouted for joy. And he says, you know, when I was creating the world, it's not just God sitting back and saying, this is good. The angels are getting excited about it. God likes to have a celebration, and he likes to pull other people into it. He's not like, okay, I'm going to hide it so that they don't get to see it, and then, yeah, see if they forget about it. He's like, no, this is worth singing about. This is worth shouting for joy about. God likes to have a party. God likes to have a celebration. As we go further into the Bible, a lot of times we think of those Old Testament prophets as being really sad, really boring, really, like, angry, really harsh. And there are those things in there, yes. But even among the Old Testament prophets, we see something about the celebrating nature of our God. In Zephaniah 3:17, they say, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with what? Joy. He exults with joy. He will be quiet in his love, and he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. So he can be quiet, but he can also be a shouting God with joy. I hope you realize we serve a celebrating God. Jesus talked about this by the time we get to the New Testament. Every time he starts telling stories about heaven, it seems like he's talking about parties. And he says in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. So God is like a king. Jesus is like the son. And it says, God, the kingdom of heaven, is like God wanting to invite you to a party. God doesn't like to celebrate alone. That's one thing that I hope you really get as we go through this. God does not like to celebrate alone. He's inviting people to the party. He wants to invite people to a feast. And if you're a king and you're throwing a party, especially for a wedding, you know that it's a pretty big deal. How many of you watched Prince William get married to the girl? Or watched the news about it later? So that you know, my wife's dress was prettier than hers was. She had an okay dress, but if you want a dress for a queen, talk to Christine. She knew what she was doing. But there's newspapers that are all watching it. There's this huge ceremony. There's tons of food. There's so much money that goes into it. Because royalty doesn't spare an expense when there's a good thing to celebrate about. God, the royalty of the universe, is not going to spare an expense when he's making sure that he's going to have a marriage for his son. He wants to draw people into this celebration. In the book of Luke, Jesus is talking again about parables, and he makes sure to mention these things. I'm not going to read all of it as we go through, but I'll start with it. Both the Pharisees and the scribes begin to grumble. Now, if you see the word grumble in the Bible, I dare you to try to find a time where it says God grumbled. It always seems like people like to grumble. And the weird thing is we think, oh, we're the happy ones, and God is just so scary. God is so harsh. God is not very nice sometimes. God doesn't grumble. We do. We're like, oh, we know how it is to party. Like, we're the ones who get the bad attitudes, and God's the ones that are going, I have a party planned for you. They're complaining because Jesus, this man, receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus is eating with people. He's enjoying life. He's drawing people into the celebration, and they're grumbling. And so Jesus tells them parables. He tells them two parables back to back. One of them, he says, there's a man, he has sheep, he loses one of the sheep. He goes out, he finds the sheep. When he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders and walks back rejoicing. The kingdom of heaven is like a God who found something and rejoices. So he's already rejoicing by himself. But then what does he do when he gets back? And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found what was lost. Rejoice with me. If you have never rejoiced with God in your life, that's something that I hope will change. That's something that our worship times, the music is about, but more than just that, our times being together as a body is about rejoicing with God, not just being joyful for herself. So then he tells the second story. It is also like a woman who has these coins. She loses one coin, so she goes all out in her house searching for everything. She's sweeping here. She's turning over tables if she has to. She's moving the chair, moving it back, looking around. Where could I have dropped this coin? And when she finds it, she's excited. And when she's found it, she calls together her friends. So men like to throw a party. That's what we saw in the first one. A man loses a sheep. He finds it. He gets excited. Women, what do you like to do? You like to have a party as well. And he's saying, you know what, God, if men know how to do it, if women know how to be happy, do you think God is less than men or women? No. God knows how to rejoice. So that he says, in the same way, I tell you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That when one person comes back, it's a joyful thing. And there's a party in God's presence. He doesn't like to do it alone. He even has the angels rejoicing with him. Later on, he does tell a third story about a prodigal son. I don't know how many of you know this story. I'm assuming most do. So there are two sons. And one says, Dad, I want all of my inheritance now. He gets it, and he runs away and wastes all of his money. The other one stays at home, and he works well. And he does what he's supposed to do for Dad, staying with him the whole time. The son who ran off with all the money loses it all and starts realizing, you know what? Life would have been better if I would have just stayed at home. Even my father's servants have it better. He's realizing that the people who are around my dad enjoy life. That's something that hopefully that we get to see as well. If we look at God as our father, and also as our master, and we are his servants, hopefully other people realize that life is good for his servants. We being God's servants, that even people would say, you know what, I want to go back to God, because even those that follow him, even those who serve him, enjoy life. Does that make sense? He's not just saying, I want all the great things, but anyone who comes into contact with my dad are living in a more joyful way than I was when I wasted all of my money. So the son heads back home, and when the dad sees him, the dad runs for him. And he runs out and hugs him and embraces him and kisses him. And the son says, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against heaven and against you. And the dad calls his servants and says, okay, you know what you do? Quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. So when someone comes home, instead of saying, first, we have to make sure that you understand how much trouble you're in for running away and wasting all my money. Before that happens, he says, let's start celebrating. I like to celebrate. He says, celebrating God is pulling people into the celebration. So there's this party going on, and the older son who had stuck around is outside in the fields. And we're going away. He's walking and he starts hearing that there's all of this noise. It said, now the older son was in the field. When he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out to him and began pleading with him. But we had to celebrate. Have you ever thought of God saying, we had to celebrate, God? We had to. I couldn't stop it. I couldn't control it. We had to celebrate. It was just that good. And who's the one who's having a problem enjoying themselves? Is it God? No. So many times it's us. We're the ones who are like, no, this shouldn't be a happy time. That's all. You have to celebrate. Come in. He's pleading with you. Celebrate with me. What kind of kingdom does God have? Well, Paul says in Romans chapter 14, kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, righteousness, peace, and joy. Those are the kinds of things that are the kingdom of God. You don't hear, the kingdom of God is one of sitting in your seat and being quiet and never sitting in your bed and being rather bored. No, it's not about boredom. It's just about joy. That's his kingdom. And what will we see at the end? When we get to the book of Revelation, after we saw in Genesis, God is saying this is good. He's excited. In the Old Testament prophets, we saw God is doing that. And Jesus is saying God is a celebrator. In Romans, we hear God's kingdom is about joy. In Revelation, when we get to the very end, what does he say? I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among them. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And to wipe away every tear from their eyes, there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And when all those things have passed away, what's left? Joy, celebration. After death is gone and done with, after pain is gone and done with, after mourning is gone and done with, then we're left with a God who's among his people. And we saw what he likes to do when he brings people to him. He likes to rejoice and celebrate. So what do? How are we supposed to respond to this? Okay, God likes to celebrate. That's awesome. What am I supposed to do? Because if we look around the world, there are a bunch of leaders that are really happy, that have servants that are really not happy. I mean, you've seen some dictators where they're a little crazy, and they're like, oh, life is great, life is wonderful. But all the people serving them are like, life is horrible, life is terrible, I want to get away from this. So just because God is celebrating, what are we supposed to be like? Are we supposed to be on pins and needles concerned, or are we supposed to be like he is? In Philippians, we're given a negative command, and then later we're going to see a positive command. But I'll start with the negative command, the do not. It said, do all things without grumbling or disputing. We saw the word grumbling before, right? But these people are grumbling against God. They say, don't grumble or dispute so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God. They say often, like father, like son, right? There are things, if you met my dad and you saw the way I'm speaking, you'd go, he's just being like his dad right now. The way that he uses hand gestures, the way that he's walking around, he's just being like his dad. He says, if you want to be children of God, you know how to be just like your dad. Well, I can tell you one thing not to do. Grumble or dispute, because that's not what God is like. If I can be childish for a moment, God is not a grumble monster. Grumble, 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 grumble. And you're supposed to become another grumble monster just like him. No. He said, you want to be children of God? Don't be grumbling. Don't be disputing. But be ones that are above reproach. Strangely, so often the word reproach is like without rebuking, without correcting someone. And we think, okay, what are the things that we need to make sure that we correct people for? If they're stepping out of line, if they're doing this bad, if they're doing this bad. One thing that needs one of the biggest corrections in the church that sometimes we avoid, you need to be corrected if you're grumbling or disputing all the time. That is something that's so unlike God. That so needs to change. Don't think, oh, well, grumbling is like one of those lesser sins. It's like a white sin, because it's not as bad as killing somebody, and it's not as bad as having sex with someone you're not married to. It's not as bad as those things. He says, if you want to be above reproach, it's not about whether or not you punch somebody in the face. It's about, are you grumbling and disputing? Are you causing fights instead of celebration? Then maybe you need to be corrected. There was another parable that Jesus gave, and this one probably will seem weird for the moment. Give me a second, I'll connect it and you'll understand how it connects. In Matthew 2, 25, it talks about a master who was going away, and he gave a couple talents, or he gave money to several of his servants and said, hey, take care of this while I'm gone. After he comes back, this is him kind of settling accounts with those servants. So, to the one he had given two talents, two bits of money, he came up and said, master, you entrusted two talents to me, and see, I've gained two more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, the thing, he said, enter into my joy. This isn't like the kid that runs up to his dad and says, hey, I got good grades in school. Can I have the keys so I can go run out and party? He's saying, no, it's not that I'm happy with you so you can go celebrate somewhere else. He's saying, I'm happy with you. I want you to be a part of my party. It's not you getting your own party. He's saying, you're part of this party, and I'd love to have you in my party. You've done good. Join my joy. My joy is greater than yours is. But then to the second servant, and the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed, and I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground, see what you have, what's yours. And often when we look at this, we see, oh, the first ones, they were doing things, they made a lot, and the second one that comes, he's made no money, and that's why the master's mad at him. Think back to the story of the two sons that we just saw. One son comes back with nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the father accepts him. Another son has tons of stuff to show. I've been working all this time for you. And yet he can't celebrate. The heart of this is not necessarily about, did I work hard enough to come back with something? It's who is coming to be accepted into the joy. This guy says, I was afraid of you. His attitude was a bigger problem. I was afraid, so I just did nothing. And so, here's your one coin. Instead of being like that one son who had wasted everything and comes back and says, I have nothing. I can't even give you your one coin back. I have nothing. But the father says, this is worth rejoicing about. It's all about who is willing to join in with the celebration. And yes, do something with what God has given you. That's what we're called to do. And it's not too late for you. If you feel like I've been that person who's been afraid and I just haven't been willing to do anything, it's not too late. Start today. Start using that gift. Start using what God has given you. Use it with joy. The thing that, with the older son that we saw earlier, as he's complaining about the big party for the younger son, he says, Dad, you didn't even give me a young goat so I could go celebrate with my friends. Do you see what his problem was there? You didn't give me something so I could go celebrate away from you. His whole desire was that he could get away from Dad, that he could be away from the party. And it's the wrong attitude. And this guy, I was afraid of you, so here's your coin. I'll stand up in here. Instead of being one who is joyfully wanting to join him with what the master is doing. The master says, enter into my joy. And the other guy's like, I'm afraid because you're a hard man. And he doesn't realize the goodness and the joy of God. So here's the positive command. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Those of you praying, God, what's your will for me? How can I be joyful? How can I be praying? And how can I be thankful? I want to play a little game with you guys that I used to do as a kid. When I was in school, they made you do this like association game. Which one of these is not like the other? So they would give you three objects. Like dog, cat, balloon. Which one of these is not like the other? Balloon, because the others are animals and that one is not. And another one, it was like shirt, shoes, river. Which one of these is not like the other? The river, because you don't wear it. So here's one. Rejoice. Pray. Be thankful. Which one of these is not like the other? Trick question, trick question. That's actually the whole point. It's a trick question. There's not this, rejoicing is fun, giving thanks is fun, but praying is kind of fun. Sometimes we get that. That's not at all, it's not, okay, here are three things in a line and one of these doesn't fit. It's they all fit perfectly together. That rejoicing and giving thanks match perfectly with talking with God, with being with Him. And do you realize where God put Himself? Right in the middle of all the fun. The rejoicing and thanksgiving, He said, be talking to me in the middle of all of this. God wants to be in the middle of your celebrating. That one, hopefully that's the first thing that gets through your brain today, is that God celebrates and He wants to be in the middle of whatever celebration you're having. With Damascus Road, it's our second year anniversary, and it's not about what we've done. It's not about the things that we have. It's not about any of that. It's about God has been in the middle of this for 2 years. Three of them more than that. He's had it in His mind and in His heart and in His thoughts. And we go, this is a celebration because God is in the middle of it, not because 80, 90 people show up. So we serve Him by rejoicing like Him. We serve Him by bringing Him into the middle of our parties. One other way that we see, in Luke 14, again, this is Jesus giving a parable. He says, there's a certain man who was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent a servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything's not ready. Later, he says, and the servant said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there's room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. The celebrating God wants His house full. And what does He do? He sends His servants to go out and pull people into the celebration. And when they found the ones that they were first told to, and they come back rejoicing, okay, we got what we were supposed to do. We've done your job. He says, there's more room. Go out and get more. The job is not done until the party's over, I guess. Until the house is full. So bring God into your celebrations, but also be the kind of people that bring others into it, that they see the celebrating kind of person you are, because they see the celebrating deity that your God is, and they want to join in that celebration. So today, I hope that you enjoy. I hope that you enjoy what we're doing. I'm so glad to be sharing this with lots of you. I hope you enjoy the food. I'm pretty excited about food after, but I'm a little hungry. I didn't eat anything this morning. Realize that God likes to celebrate. So, we have 10 minutes before everything gets started. Run out and find people on the highway. That's your job.
I think you have thanks for
that. Be the kind of person who brings people. Let me pray before we continue on with the rest of the celebration today. Father God, You are such a joyous God, and we are joyful in You. I'm glad with what You've been doing this whole week, and I know that there's been struggles in it, but I also see that You are a joyful God, that at Your heart, You're joyful. That's the first thing you wanted to show us about yourself, is that you take joy in things. You find things good. As we walk throughout the rest of this day, I pray that we would have the same kind of joy that you did. In Jesus' name, amen.